As a project manager, how do you stay humble when your team decides to go left and you want them to go right? And at the end, they say to you, you know what? You were right about that. You'll catch that later. But seriously, family, how do you stay humble when you were right all along? When communication breaks down, when stakeholders create more problems than they do solutions, and when the team members, we both know, they just not a fit. It's tempting to say, I told you so. You know I'm right about it. But here's the real question. How do you lead with grace when your foresight could have saved the project? In today's episode, we're going to address the following. Is it about proving that you are right or finding a way to ensure your team learns and grows together? And my last and final question to you, family, what kind of leader are you or will you be when the pressure is on and you have the option to say, I told you so versus to lead with grace? I hope you enjoyed today's episode. It may be a little controversial, but hey, that's how we roll anyway. So let's jump into today's information. Have you ever had those I told you so moments? I know I have. And anybody that's listening, I don't care. You can even look in your personal life. You've probably had those I told you so moments. All right. Point number one, predicting a project delay due to inadequate resources. See, early in the project, you warned the project was under resources, which could cause delays. You see, family, one of the things I said I would love to recommend to PMI is to have resource constraints as part of the triple constraints. Why is that? Because resource constraints can really add a lot of impact to how the project is led, even from a project management standpoint, as well as stakeholders and project team members. Okay, you're confusing me here. What do you mean by that, Evie? See, the thing about it is, family, is that when you have people doing two or three jobs that is supposed to be by a single person, you can suffer burnout. Burnout is really real because now they start doing things just to get it passed or just to get by instead of focusing on keeping the main thing, focusing on what their expertise are, focusing on driving to ensure the team has a project success. Here's my actionable advice. Always document, you knew this was coming, resource discussions. When delay happens, reference your initial warning with a focus on preventing similar issues in the future. Listen, I've led projects where we had resource constraints and we still had to move forward, but I made sure to document because you know the motto here, documentation beats what? Documentation beats conversation. So I documented it because if a stakeholder or project, it doesn't matter who the resource is, comes back and says, well, why are we so delayed? What's going on here? That I have something to reference and I'll be able to jog my memory of the reason why right really extremely fast. And you want to be able to do that, family. Point number two, not listening actively. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever spoke to someone that you're having a conversation with them and they're not really even paying attention to what you're saying because they're formulating their answer because they're so encouraged. I use the word encouraged loosely to respond to you before even hearing you out, before hearing the full context. You know, some of the best leaders that I've ever experienced in my life, they had the ability to listen to you fully and they weren't formulating the answer. They would pause. And this is how I knew that they were just exceptional. They would let you speak and I said, And then they would respond. And it was more about the pause that arrested my attention, family, because of the fact that they were more focused on really getting a understanding of perspective and really truly listening to you, where in other words, you will have people that are really just looking to give their consultation, to give their advice without even hearing what is the actual problem. So communication breaks down happen when team members only focus on getting their points across without truly trusting or I should say, it should be trusting and listening to others. Here's my actionable advice. Foster a culture of active listening. Encourage team members to repeat or paraphrase what was said before responding and ensuring clarity. I've shared that with you before. That's one of the things that I started doing more of is when I hear a stakeholder or a project team member say something to me, I say, is it okay if I paraphrase what you said or actually repeat back everything? Because I want to make sure you and I are aligned, that there are no communication breakdowns. And you know, honestly, that tends to work much better than me not even doing that, because now we're both aligned. So there's not going to be a, well, you misunderstood what I said, or that's not what I meant. Nope, we have understanding what you mean by that. Let's move on to point number three, lack of initiative or accountability. Message, if you're new to the episode, anytime that I say message, anytime that I yell that out loud, that means this is something you want to pay attention to. This is something that you want to take the time. If you're scrolling, stop. If you're doing something else, stop, unless you're driving. Please continue to drive and drive safely. But no, seriously, family, team members who don't take ownership of tasks can hinder progress and demoralize the rest of the team. One of the things I have to control myself is I get irritable because of the fact of, as a project manager, you don't want to be someone, even though I know it's cliche, to be someone that's always driving a project, because it takes away of your ability to support. I like that. Because see, when you are more in a supporting feature, you're able to allow the project team to focus on their work while you're removing impediments. That sounds like a scrum master, doesn't it? But no, seriously, it's a more of an interchangeable aspect between project manager and scrum master in a way, because you want to be able to support your team. You're there to support your team. You're there to protect them and not put a lid on what they can do, but more of a covering of what they could do. I love that, because when you put a covering on someone, you are saying I'm not trying to get in your way. I am trying to go up with you. When you're putting a lid on someone, what you're trying to say is that if you don't do it this way, my way, then this is not going to work and you're never going to go up type deal. No. We are trying to drive in an initiative. And so you're saying, where am I going with this? What I'm saying is that the only way your team can become someone that has initiative and take accountability is what my actionable advice is we have to set clear expectations for ownership and accountability. Unfortunately, sometimes you're going to have to over-document by saying, if we have a meeting and someone says, hey, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and you know they have a tendency to all of a sudden forget, or all of a sudden they didn't see the agenda in the actual meeting or what they made a commitment to. Because again, we're all human, so sometimes we forget. We want to be able to document that. And we start tracking that and use this as regular performance reviews to address these issues directly and provide support to reassign tasks. All right, point number four, stakeholders who resist to change. I understand that the biggest thing in leading a project is stakeholders who are unwilling to adapt to new processes or technologies can slow progress and create friction. A lot of this friction and emotion from that friction comes from, oh, well, we've always done it this way. Why do we got to start doing this new process? And why do we got to use this new technology? And you have to, here's my actionable advice, family, involve these stakeholders in the planning stages. And sometimes I can't fault these stakeholders from feeling the way they feel, because somebody will go off and create this massive process, and then they don't involve the people that are going to be responsible for implementing it, instead of taking a collaborative approach and saying, listen, this is the problem that we're seeing, and we need your help to come together to put a process together. And then watch this. Ooh, this is getting too good to me, family. Provide a clear benefit for any of the process changes to reduce resistance. If you're saying before I was doing A, B, C, and D, and now you're saying, hey, I only need you to do A and B, and let me show you why A and B is going to be more effective. And I want your input. I want your collaborative approach, instead of going off into a silo approach and say, I'm going to build these because I am the process team, or because I'm this team and I have I have the authority. That's the word I'm looking for. I have the authority to say, well, this is how it should be done. But then you get upset when people are not implementing your processes or even wanting to work with you on the technology that they have. So involve them early and often. Let's move on to point number 5, highlighting the importance of proper onboarding. Okay, Fred, I'm going to do my best. You know, I sometimes go into, sometimes I'll go off on the deep end, and it's on purpose, and sometimes it's not. This time it's on purpose, and at the same time it's not. You know, one of the things I've seen is that you have to recommend a structured onboarding process for new team members, but stakeholders cut it short, leading to confusion. You will hear theories out there like, oh, we want somebody to come in and hit the ground running. And when you do that, you take away from, because every organization is not the same. Are we building careers? Or are we hiring consultants? Because there's a difference. Now, if you're hiring a consultant, they're coming in for a specified reason, a specific reason of what they're coming to support the organization. But if we're building careers, if we're building up careers, excuse me, then our focus should be, hey, we're not looking for somebody to come in to hit the ground running. Because if you could come in and hit the ground running, then that means we haven't done our due diligence enough. We want somebody that wants to grow with us. See, the more that we can focus on helping someone grow, they're going to want to stay with the organization. They're going to see the benefit in the organization because of the fact of that the emphasis is put more on growth than it is about quick wins and quick turnarounds and things of that nature. Here's my actionable advice. Create an onboarding plan that emphasizes benefits in terms of long-term performance. If new hires struggle, use it as an example of the importance of onboarding. And I've seen it so many times where new resources will come in and they'll hand them a laptop and say, okay, just go shadow that project manager, and you shadow them for about a week, and then we're going to give you your own project. And they're like, what? And yes, that happens. But then what ends up happening is that the direct manager or the PMO gets frustrated with that new project manager. Is like, man, why did we hire this project manager? He or she doesn't even know what they're doing. It's not that they don't know what they're doing. Processes and procedures were different at a previous organization than it is at this organization. So you have to be able to provide a window of opportunity for that person to learn and train and give them proper direction. So again, avoid the terminology of hitting the ground running and focus more on growth. Let's move on to point number 6, ignoring the need for cross-functional team alignment. You know, one of the things is that when you have cross-team alignment, it allows for a growth as far as the team gets to be able to say, okay, we're working with sales, we're working with marketing. And so when sales or marketing goes out to pitch a deal and make a deal, the more cross-functional they are with the project team that's going to actually be implementing the work, the better there's going to be an understanding. And it helps to, let's say, again, using the example of the sales and marketing team, it's going to help them be able to provide better service to the customer. Because again, you know, I was talking about this earlier, and I learned this from Vusi, and it just made me, you know, dig even deeper into it about the difference between service and experience. And when you go out to eat, you're looking for both of those things. If you go to the store or wherever where there's service at, you're looking for service and experience. And if you have one without the other, it's not going to be an effective, I don't care what the product is. I don't care how deep you discount it. Eventually, the person that will be willing to pay more to have a great experience as well as to get amazing service. So I recommend having cross-functional meetings to align with teams, but stakeholders didn't see the need until misalignment caused actual delays. Point number 7. just regarding communication bottlenecks, one of the things if you'll know about me and what I've learned in this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management, is there is always, there's some foundational principles. And one of the foundational principles that I lean on all the time is communication. And the reason why is because if we do not communicate properly, and communicating properly is not using a bunch of jargon or words to show how smart you are. I am referencing communicating properly to ensure that what I am sending, the person is receiving the information properly, that they can take the proper amount of action. So you point out communication bottlenecks between departments, but they were ignored, leading to a misunderstanding later. If you were to go back and look at any misunderstanding with any project you ever been a part of, or if you're new to this thing called project management, if you ever, when you get your first project, you'll see that the biggest things that are it that lead to poor performance in a project or a project eventually failing is due to communication. Because if we didn't communicate the schedule properly, the project would fail. If we didn't communicate the budget properly, the project would fail. If we didn't communicate the scope properly, you kind of get where I'm going. Here's my actionable advice. Set up clear communication channels and protocols early and often. If communication failures impact the project, reference early concerns and suggest improved channels moving forward. Point number 8, highlighting the importance of training. You push for comprehensive team training, but it was deprioritized, resulting in inefficiencies. You know, I've struggled with this in many occasions. You know, one moment I was like, I'm big on training, I think it needs to happen. And then another, I was like, no, but then I realized that reason why training is important and I'm speaking if you're working for an organization, is because of the fact of what you, I know there's a fear, I don't even know if that's a good choice, a concern, how about that? That if you train a resource and then they get all this good training and go somewhere else, that is a concern. Because I've seen that happen in organizations. I've seen it where the organization will offer PMP training, somebody will go get their PMP, and then probably within 30 days or less, they leave the organization. And if the organization, and I thought about that, that's why I've struggled with it, because I've always went in my own pocket and bought my own training, because I never wanted the organization to feel like if they invested in me and I had decided to leave, that it was some kind of because of what they invested me in. So I thought, hey, I'd rather just take that and invest in myself. And I recommend you doing the same thing, because when you start investing in yourself, then it doesn't matter what the organization has done. And plus, you'll still bring more value. So this is one of the things that I've always pushed for still. Like I said, at first I was on the fence, but now I definitely believe the importance of training and organizations making that investment. And if that resource leaves, so be it. But just know that there's going to be somebody else that's going to want to be part of that organization because of the fact that the other organizations is not offering training. So you're telling me I get to come here, get to learn, get to train, and offer incentives. If you're seeing people are leaving, maybe the problem has nothing to do with them getting trained. It probably has something, if there's a deeper root cause of maybe is the environment or the culture in a sense. So always include training in your project plans. If lack of training causes issue, use this as an opportunity to advocate training in future projects. Again, there's probably a deeper rooted issue, which is the ability to retain a resource, because they're like, I need this training and I need to get out of here because I'm not being, ooh, I like this. I'm not being celebrated. I'm only being tolerated. So maybe we need to address the culture in the organization, or maybe just that department. And I promise you, when you unpack that, you will see, oh, this is why people are leaving. It makes a lot of sense. All right. I have one bonus for you, family, and I'll let you be on your way. I'll give you my transformational remarks and then I'll let you be on your way. Ignoring risk assessment. You highlighted key risks during project planning, but the stakeholders chose to proceed without addressing them. Here's my actionable advice. Keep risk logs visible to stakeholders and revisit them regularly if a risk becomes an issue. diplomatically remind stakeholders about your early risk assessment. Here are my four transformational recommendations. Number one, predicting a project delay due to inadequate resources. Again, you know, fam, we're based on solutions here and just not beating up on the problem so much, but always document resource discussions as when the delay happens. Reference your initial warning with a focus on preventing similar issues in the future. Number two, lack of initiative or accountability. I have to be honest, sometimes it can be so irritating. However, if we set clear expectations for ownership and accountability and use a regular performance reviews to address these issues directly. See, that's one of the things, that's the key word, addressing them directly instead of beating around a bush, instead of doing surface layer type, get to the root. Why are you not being initiative or creating initiatives? And provide support and reassign tasks. Number three, highlighting the importance of proper onboarding. As I stated before, creating an onboarding plan, emphasize the benefits of long-term team performance. And if new hires struggle, use it as an example of importance of onboarding. Like I said, are we creating careers here or are we bringing in consultants? Because if we're bringing in consultants, no problem. Hey, just give them a high level onboarding to show them where the coffee is, show them where everything is at, because they're specialized. You know, you need to give them enough as far as to be dangerous of who the resources are and who the stakeholders are. But at the end of the day, yeah, they're specialized. But as somebody that's coming into the organization as a full-time employee, you want to be able to create a culture of which, hey, we're looking for you to be here. And so we need to build a career to help you build a career and avoid using terminology like hit the ground running and focus more on growth. And my last and final item here, family, is disregarding communication bottlenecks. You want to be able to set up clear communication channels and protocols early. And I always say often, if communication failures impact the project, reference early concerns and suggest improved channels moving forward. Well, family, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. One of the things, again, I really want to focus on, you know, it's not about saying I told you so. It's not about, oh, I was right about this. You may feel that, and I get it. Trust me, I get it, because there's been many moments where I knew I was right and they still wanted to go in a different direction, but I had to sit back and let it play out. I had to let the things happen. But in the meantime, I was also preparing myself as they were doing that to be ready when they came back my way and say, hey, remember those things that we talked about? Here's my plan for it, how to address it, and be humble enough to be able to do that. At the end of the day, you want to be able to make the team look as amazing as they can be and will be, because more people are going to want to work with you at the end. I go by the name ED for all you smart and intelligent folks out there. Listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time, I'm out.